Good morning and welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. It's the 11th of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. And the Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller checking in momentarily with the news, including Hoosier reaction to USDA's plan to battle the bird flu virus. And it's time to lock in this season's soil fertility plan. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has slightly cooler temperatures today and tomorrow compared to Monday anyway. A nice week, though, continues. And the Monday markets were mixed, only the grains higher, beans down. We'll have John Zanker market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
One of the state's top veterinarians responds to USDA's $1 billion plan to fight bird flu and a product you may want to consider for this growing season. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, it was just a few weeks ago that USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins announced a $1 billion plan to stop the spread of bird flu, protect the U.S. poultry industry, and lower egg prices. Dr. Brett Marsh is the dean of Purdue University's College of Veterinary Medicine, and he says he appreciates the efforts by USDA and Secretary Rollins to bolster the resources to battle the bird flu virus.
Because the poultry industry is a huge industry for our state. Indiana is number one in commercial ducks, we're number two in eggs, and number three in pounds of turkey produced. So poultry industry is a major contributor to our ag economy.
In addition to USDA's plan to fight the virus, Tony Westner, who's the CEO of Roseacre Farms based in Seymour, recently testified before the Senate Ag Committee that perhaps a bird flu vaccine should also be implemented within the poultry industry.
One of the challenges with using the vaccine in poultry has been because of the broiler industry, and the use of vaccine in the poultry population in the United States would limit that trade in the international community for broiler product, which is 25% of their production. So it would be a major hit to our poultry industry, one segment of the poultry industry, if we were to use vaccine.
Dr. Marsh says he's hopeful that USDA and the poultry industry can both work together to overcome many of the barriers that exist in curbing the spread of bird flu.
Because we need these tools in the toolbox and making sure that that research is in place so that the vaccine that we're using matches the virus that we're dealing with, et cetera. And of course, it's a major effort to get birds vaccinated in these populations, but we can find those solutions. So I appreciate the Secretary's approach to enhance dollars for research, to enhance dollars for biosecurity, because we need all these tools.
Check out my full conversation with Dr. Brett Marsh at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, planting season is right around the corner, and Eric Pfeiffer is here now with a product update.
Are you all set with your plan for the 2025 planting season? No? Well, you're not the only one. Ryan Harbison, sales account manager for AgriLiquid, had this to say last week at Commodity Classic.
Probably 50% of the people coming through don't have that plan locked in yet. For whatever reason, they haven't got there yet. But it's kind of that time of year where we've decided, hey, it's time to start really thinking about this. So soil fertility is going to be a big thing this year. So looking at that soil test that you had done last fall and starting to create that plan for this upcoming season is going to be a big deal. And doing that with a return on investment mindset. How can we get the most out of our application that we're going to make this spring?
And Harbison says AgriLiquid is there to help read that soil test and balance your levels just like they have been for the past 41 years. He's not about giving generic advice. Each farm is different. But he does recommend starting with your micronutrients to make sure you're maximizing yield potential. AgriLiquid has a product called Micro 500 that can help.
Our zincs, our manganese, boron, we can get some copper in there. But the nutrients that we don't need in large amounts in the plant, but they're still completely vital to that end yield of that plant. So whenever we're looking at that, we're just not getting as much out of the soil possibly as what we could. So we need to supplement that with some of the things we're doing, whether they're tied up in the soil. Iron's a key example. So that's one that's in the Micro 500 pack that we can look at to complement that zinc load that we're also putting in there to help that crop with its metabolic processes and get it off to a good start and going.
You can learn more about Micro 500 at agriliquid.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller. Who's Your Ag Today? Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Slightly cooler across the Hoosier State today. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got beautiful sunshine still in control here, but some colder air came in overnight in the northern plains and upper Midwest. That's moving into the Great Lakes, and it's going to back temperatures up down here just a little bit. I'm expecting us to be on the slightly cooler side for not only today, but tomorrow as well. When I say cooler, it's not necessarily versus normal, but just versus what we started the week with yesterday. We're not going to be able to hold those temperatures quite as long. Now we move into the latter part of the week. Warmer air comes screaming right back in, and we see dominant sunshine also. Maybe a little bit of cloud cover around for Thursday in southern parts of Indiana, but no moisture. I'm going to keep us dry all week long. Temperatures are really going to ramp up Friday afternoon, Friday night on strong south flow. Windy conditions will be developing, and this comes ahead of our next frontal complex, which is bringing rain for Saturday through the day, probably even in the pre-dawn hours. At this point, I'm going to pencil in a quarter to three-quarters of an inch with coverage at 90% of the Hoosier State. We are going to dry slot by Saturday in the late afternoon, still staying mild, and then turning colder for Sunday. Wraparound backside air does not bring precipitation, just cold for Sunday into early Monday of next week. However, the cold is short-lived. We see warmer air coming back by Tuesday. It's going to have a little bit of cloud cover stuck with it, but no major precipitation. I think by the time we get to Wednesday afternoon, we're going to be dealing with some hit-and-miss scattered rain shower action with a warm front passing through, and then a massive circulation, massive low-pressure area tries to move through areas to our east on Thursday. That's the 20th. Big rains there. I mean, they fall apart by the time they get to a large part of Indiana, but I'm going to still say a quarter to three-quarters of an inch possible for next Thursday, the 20th. And we get into Friday, the 21st, and the weekend of the 22nd, 23rd. Cold air is going to be discussed quite a bit, especially Friday the 21st and early Saturday before warm air tries to come back as we move into the following week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine. You're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction. The easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Corn and wheat up, and soybean futures worked lower throughout the session. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis to gain insight as to what happened during the trading session. For that, I turned at the end of the session to John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. On a Monday, the strength was in the grains, especially the Chicago wheat market, strong all day, just a little higher in corn, but soybeans struggling in that complex, meal and oil as well. Everything was lower, John. So a mixed bag as we open up the week. Any news to move the markets over the weekend and as we start trade?
We didn't have any big tariff news come up one way or the other over the weekend, so that's nice. There's certainly a lot of chatter about it still, and you know what's going to happen on April 4th now, I believe, is the next due date for something happening. So I think the market was a little bit relieved on that. That helped corn along. Excellent export shipments on corn, 10-week high, and maybe the second highest of the marketing year. So good news there. Soybeans, you know, we're just what's good. you know, what do we have going on right now that's good? Domestic demand's good, but crush is just maybe softening up a little bit. Crushers margins, some of the weakest numbers we've seen in quite a few years. So there's a little bit of concern there. And of course, we're just harvesting a huge Brazilian crop. And I was looking at the numbers in states this morning in Argentina. It looks like 70-75% of that area has gotten over 100% of normal rainfall in the last 30 days. And Buenos Aires, the largest state down there, produces about a third of their soybeans. A lot of that area's had 125 to 150% of normal. So we're losing any of that scare factor, worry factor, and which leaves us very little to be bullish about in regard to soybeans.
Let's talk about flash sales. We did see one for corn, and we saw a soybean flash sales as well this morning. Also, corn export inspections well above the highest of expectations. Bean export inspections decent. All of that seemed to matter not at all to the markets.
Yeah, even, you know, with a number like that, I'm disappointed, you know, that we barely managed to keep the May and July corn contracts in the positive area. And beans, pretty decent number, 31 million bushels. That's a pretty decent number for this time of the year. A year ago, it was 28.9. This is the first time in 8 weeks that our weekly bean number exceeded last year's number. So we've been in a bit of a slump there. We'll see if we can turn this around. I have some doubts on that. But, you know, we've been loving corn exports, shipments and sales for months. And doesn't look like we had a couple skinnier weeks than what we wanted to see. But we came back and with an impressive number this week at 71.6. So I'm just... you know, I'll continue to like the corn market. We just have a bit of a drag with the daily tariff talk and such. And soybeans are a bit of an anchor as well.
Tuesday, it's the world supply and demand estimates that come out. Should we brace ourselves for fireworks or not so much, John?
It's pretty hard to get fireworks out of this report, Andy. The focus will be on that March 31st report, which will give us plenty of fireworks. Usually it's a big market mover with acreage and stocks. So I think the trade's expecting exports to be increased on corn tomorrow, 25, 30, 40 million, something like that. So maybe we'll get that ending carryout down under 1.5, which will be supportive. Beans, I can't see them raising either crush or exports, maybe crush. But I think they just lowered it last month, so one would assume they won't come back and change that. So, and there's nothing going on in the bean exports that would suggest that we need to raise that. I don't think we'll lower it. I think we'll wait and see what happens here 2 to 3 months from now before they start making any major adjustments there. So I would expect maybe a little support for corn and steady as she goes on everything else.
Market commentary from John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. John's number is 866-837-9027. Now the Monday numbers. Settlements in corn, May 472, a gain of 2.75. Also July up 2.75, going to 478.5. September a penny higher, 451.25. December now sits at 455. May beans 11 lower, 1014. July settles at 1028.25, down a dime and a half. August down a dime and a quarter, 1025.5. And May wheat a gain of 11.25, going to 562.5. The meat's higher, 57 cents over the $200 mark on April live cattle, finishing up 37 cents. April lean hogs 88.30, up 95. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.